Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back for another fun-filled week on the M Squared TechCast, talking about technology and economic development in Michigan.
And all sorts of groovy stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. A little bit of fun, too, occasionally.
Occasionally.
Yeah. So let's introduce our first guest here this week. We'll get right into the show. We've got four great segments for you today. Our first one is Linda Deschent, who is CEO of the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan, and she's got a new partnership to tell us about. Linda, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
All right. So tell us a little bit about this this new effort of promotional or professional videos.
Well, what we're doing, we are partnering with the Michigan STEM Partnership and Inforum, and we are putting together a project where we're asking people who are currently working in STEM careers, science, technology, engineering, and math, which is what STEM stands for, we're asking them to make videos. And these can be very simple videos, cell phone videos or with their tablets, to talk about the work that they do, 3 to 5 minutes in length, talk about what they do, the type of education their job requires, what they love about their job, and, you know, what they see as the opportunity of it. And the goal of this is really to try to encourage students to pursue STEM careers, as well as helping parents understand what a great opportunity it is, because parents have a lot to do with helping students decide what careers to pursue. And we also want to use them as a tool for teachers in the classroom to enable them to be able to provide information from people who are actually working in these fields. And so when we get these in, we have the ability for you to apply to say, yes, I'm going to submit a video. You can do that on the Michigan STEM Partnership website, which is mistempartnership.com. And you submit the video to us. We have a special page. We're going to be putting all these videos, and then we're going to be sharing them on social media. We're going to be showing them at a STEM event we're doing in September at Kobo. We're going to put them everywhere we can to get the word out and show people who are working in STEM careers and hopefully get a lot more people following that path.
And as fate would have it today, we have with us Tim Brochet from Engage. Step up. She's playing with her cell phone there, but we're going to get her attention. So you're involved in this project too, right, Temper?
Yes, we are. It's great to partner with the Michigan STEM Partnership on this. It's so important that we have those role models for the young women about to go into STEM to look up to, because you can't be it if you don't see it.
Hey, I like that. Keep that.
Can't beat if you don't see it.
Yeah,
okay, that's good.
That's like a bumper sticker.
So what you're talking about doing is showing people what they need to do, having people talk about how they got to where they are, and what, you know, how you can follow in their footsteps, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're only 3 to 5 minute videos. They're not going to be very long, so they can't go into a lot of detail. But basically the idea is to give some highlights, what they really like about their job, some basic requirements that they had to meet to be able to get the job and to progress in their field, and really, you know, to give some information that is really going to incentivize people to really make them see excitement about these kinds of jobs and to make them want to pursue them.
And I'm coming on, well, MI Tech News is coming on board, and by extension, M Squared TechCast is coming on board to help promote those in September once I return from a life-fulfilling vacation. Well, I need some time off. But come September, we'll be coming on board, and I think I'm going to try to get down to that event at Kobo. I need to sign up for that still.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's going to be a great opportunity for us. We're planning to utilize those videos in between our panel discussions that are talking about STEM, and again, trying to bring it to a much bigger audience. So we hope we have an awful lot of videos to show, and we encourage your listeners to definitely submit videos to us to help promote the firms that they're working for and the jobs that they're doing.
All right, so how do people submit these videos?
They go onto the Michigan STEM Partnership website. There is a page there for the video STEM Careers Showcase. Their website is michiganstempartnership.com. And they will be able to access it there. There's a page that kind of talks them through it, gives them the instructions on how to submit a video. It's real simple. Basically, they're going to make the video on their cell phone. They're going to put it on YouTube. They're going to send us a link, and then we're going to put it out everywhere.
Timber, I'm going to ambush you one more time. And why is it Engage? I know we had you had your really good bumper sticker thing going there earlier. But, I mean, do you have a lot of STEM folks in Engage?
We do, not just in Engage, but actually throughout our membership as a whole. Mm-hmm. A lot of women who've forged their way through engineering at GM. One of our members is Mary Barra, so she's
done the
ultimate.
Yeah, she's
going through STEM tech.
Got just a little bit of influence at GM there.
Just a little bit. Yeah. So, but there are a lot. There's so many more careers in STEM than just engineering. So many opportunities for people to touch, and opportunities for the women in our entrepreneurship program who touch it to give back and just help people see that this is where they can go. These young women and our mentors just across all industry verticals.
Are you seeing?
Yeah, and that's true because we're hoping that we're going to find a lot of women are going to pursue technology careers in development, but also in many other areas of technology related to connected technologies and a lot of industries. So that's what we're hoping as MTAM to get out of it.
Okay. Now, are you seeing any kind of traction among young women who are now getting more interested in STEM careers? Either of you?
We're starting to. I think it's like Timber said earlier, they have to see it to understand that they can be it. And so they don't really understand necessarily the options out there that are available to them. Mm-hmm. And I know from studies that I've read, parents really don't either. So that's why it's so important for us to make these kinds of efforts with this video initiative, as well as the STEM event we're doing on September 7th at Kobo, to put information out there, let them see people who are actually working in the fields, talk to them at the event, get their hands on some interactive experiences. They really need to understand that, if you're working at GM or Ford or any of the car companies or related firms, that it's not the same job it was when our parents went to work there. It's a very different job. It's very technology focused. It's very engineering focused, but it's a lot of fun. It's exciting because of all of the changes that are coming because of technology today.
Well, actually, I worked in auto supply plants when I was working my way through Michigan. So it wasn't just our parents who worked in dirty factories. I did that for 3 years, too.
So Linda and Timber, the both of you, let's take a step back here. I wanted to ask what the Michigan STEM Partnership is. What is it? Who's on it? What is it trying to do? What does it want to accomplish?
The Michigan STEM Partnership is a nonprofit organization. It was originally formed by the state of Michigan and got a volunteer board together, and originally the state funded it. A year or so ago, it became its own nonprofit entity. It no longer receives funding from the state, so now it goes out and gets grants and that sort of thing. When it initially started, its sole purpose was to provide small grants to schools and nonprofit associations and that to provide very small one-off STEM experiences for learning. The mission now is a lot bigger. It's really much more about providing a well-rounded STEM environment here in Michigan, providing access to resources, providing awareness, and providing connections between education and the business community.
Okay. So getting back to your event in September, what is that called again? I'm not your particular event, but the whole conference.
The whole conference is Technology in Motion Detroit, and that's taking place September 6th through 8th. And that is, as I said, is at Kobo. And then our event within that is the STEM Career Showcase, and that takes place on September 7th. But we will have exhibitors there all 3 days in our STEM Village.
So that would be a Friday then, if I do my math in my head.
No, Thursday.
Thursday. Okay, all right.
Thursday.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that'd be a good day for me to come down and check everything out. So, like I say,
absolutely. We'll have some great panels there that everybody can learn a lot from, and we hope to have some great, exciting, interactive experiences at the exhibitors that we'll have there.
Okay. So fall's coming up here. What's going on with MTAM and mobile? I always get this wrong. It's Mobile Michigan Monday, right?
Nope, Mobile Monday, Michigan.
One of these days I'll get that right.
All right.
So,
We're actually working right now on our next event for the Detroit chapter, which is going to be September 11th in Troy. It's going to be focused on connected health. And so we're in the process right now of lining up all of our speakers for that event and having some conversations about events that are going to be upcoming in Grand Rapids. And I know Ann Arbor has some stuff going on, but I'm not as familiar with their agenda. So I know they have something going on every month as well.
Okay. So anything else exciting coming up besides you got your program in September, you got all your Monday events, anything else that you need to alert the audience to coming up through the end of the year?
Well, let's see. those are honestly the biggest things that we're concentrating on right now. There's a number of other events that we are involved with, but right now our big focus is on these STEM programs because they are the shortest term coming up and they're the highest priority for us at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. And then as the audience probably knows, we've rescheduled the IoT Tech Kinetic event from October till next April. Same location, Troy Marriott. We'll be working with MTAM and Engage and all these other folks to put together some really good content. But this is a show for Michigan to strut its stuff, show off what they do in the Internet of Things and products and services, and hopefully be a great show. And I know Linda's involved, be involved with us as we move forward on that, as we do connected tech. And I'm talking to all sorts of people, including the folks at the Center for Automotive Research and M-City. And so we're going to have autonomous vehicles in there and all sorts of great stuff.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to being involved with that and making it hopefully an annual event.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what Rick Beckers and I hope to do, is make it an annual event.
So, Linda, tell us a little bit about the intersection of sort of mobile technology and the auto industry. I mean, we've heard a lot about autonomous vehicles, but short of that, what's on the horizon?
Well, obviously, you know, the car is becoming self-driving, but there's also a lot of other technologies where it's interacting with traffic signals, or it's going to interact with sensors in the road, or it's going to be able to detect humans that may be in danger of walking in front of it. I mean, there's a lot of ways that the connected technologies are being utilized on the automobile or in the automobile in order to be able to make sure that safety is increased. There's also going to be a lot of ways for automobiles to connect to other modes of transportation or to parking areas, for example, to reserve a parking spot for you so it's ready when you get there and you don't have to search for one. So there's a lot of really unique things that will be happening as a result of these technologies as we continue to move forward.
All right. Thanks very much. Linda Deschamps, CEO of the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan, talking about a whole bunch of cool programs at MTAM. Is it mtam.org? Have I got that right?
It's gomobilemichigan.org.
Gomobilemichigan.org. So don't go to MTAM. I have no idea where I'd be sending you.
Well,
so,
I do. It's a different website entirely.
Okay. All right. GoMobileMichigan is the website. Linda, thanks for being with us today.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. And for right now, that's it for the M Squared TechCast. It's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we'll be right back. It's Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And we are back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast, proudly part of the Podcast Detroit.com network, which I now understand is over 80 locally produced podcasts at four studios around Metro Detroit.
Yeah, you can tell by the bar out there, they're having a good time.
That's
right?
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Our next guest is someone I met through something I do at my employer, Lawrence Tech.
Yep.
Ring the plug bell.
Ring the bell.
But I am part of something, a committee for something called the Southfield City Center. And I don't know if a lot of people have heard about that, but we have Terry Crode, Director of Planning for the City of Southfield, here to talk to us about it today. Terry, welcome.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So tell us, what is Southfield City Center? When did that get off the ground, and what's it trying to accomplish?
I think I have to take a step back first. Many people might know that Southfield's a first ring suburb of Detroit. It was the fastest growing community in the 1960s, but it was developed with a very auto-dominated land use pattern. Fast forward to 1992, we don't have a traditional downtown, but a special assessment district was incorporated to promote economic development, to foster attraction and retention of young professionals. And over the last 25 years, we built that into being a more pedestrian, bike-focused community. Mm-hmm. We know that's important for attraction and retention of professionals. It's also important for our town and gown relationship with Lawrence Tech University as they grow from a commuter school to a more residential community. It's important for our visitors, and it's important for our residents.
Mm-hmm.
And the Special Assessment District collects 5 cents per square foot of non-residential for businesses, and that money gets put directly back into the district for placemaking, capital improvements, and promoting special events.
So roughly, what are the borders of this area?
Yeah, that was my next question here. Yeah, where is it?
If you're familiar with Southfield, where the Southfield Municipal Campus is on Evergreen between 10 and 11 Mile,
mm-hmm.
that's the eastern boundary, and then extends westward to the triangle where Northwestern Highway is. Lawrence Tech Campus is part of it, and we've just recently extended the boundaries further northwest to the Marriott Courtyard by Marriott on Northwestern Highway, and then it collects a little bit south of Evergreen and 10 Mile.
So I'm trying to visualize this in my head here.
Most of the strip that is involved in this is on Evergreen between 10 and 11.
Well, I meant mostly, how is this going to change is what I was going for here.
Well, in the last couple of years, we've made significant progress in building 9 to 12 miles of new sidewalks, pathways, bike lanes, and other pedestrian amenities. When I first took over as planning director 7 years ago, we actually had sections of our main and main with no sidewalk at all.
Hmm.
Northwestern Highway had a goat path, and a goat path is just basically trodden down field where people used to walk.
All right.
We recently completed...
But no goats, right?
No goats.
Okay.
Maybe 100 years ago.
We
recently completed a new bike path from along Northwestern Highway, northbound from Civic Center to Corporate Drive. That was an important gap in the system. Proud to say that we launched a bike share program just 2 weeks ago.
Oh, didn't know that.
We've retained Zagster to help us with this program. We have 7 stations located in 5 areas and 23 bike fleet. We have 2 on the municipal campus, 2 at Lawrence Tech University, 1 at Lower Evergreen where our commercial district is, 1 at the town center, and 1 up on Northwestern Highway at the Marriott Courtyard by Marriott. You can access a bike within an eighth to a quarter mile. It's $2 per hour. Or you can join for a yearly membership. The first hour is free each and every time that you use a bike. And it's to encourage more biking and walking. And this is to get towards more heart-healthy activity.
Yeah.
30 minutes of heart-healthy activity, whether you're walking or biking, is going to help. And it also helps with the placemaking and community engagement. You have a much better opportunity to say hello and engage your neighbor if you're walking or biking than you are just driving by in a car at 45 miles an hour.
Short conversation at 45 miles an hour.
If you're lucky, right?
Or something.
Absolutely. Well, also there along Evergreen, there's a bunch of new buildings that have gone up, right?
Yeah, and I think this is all part of after we got out of the Great Recession and we had a lot of empty vacancies.
We called it depression here, but go ahead.
Yeah.
The property owners and the business managers also knew that the placemaking was important for the attraction and retention. We're never going to compete with Chicago or New York City as far as placemaking, but with the Royal Oaks and the Ferndales that have traditional downtowns, there's no reason why we can't make a more pedestrian-friendly and walkable community. We've invested over $300,000 in benches, trash receptacles, bus stop improvements. We've installed 5 pieces of art last year. We've made the sidewalks and bike connections, the bike share program, which you can access by zagster.com/Southfield. Is another extension of making ourselves more pedestrian-friendly. We also host Eat to the Beat concerts on the second Thursday of every month. We provide free concert entertainment and food trucks, and then we partner with local businesses to help augment and get people out. Our last concert food truck rally for the year is on September 14th, and we're partnering with the American Cancer Society for Corporate Relay for Life.
Now, I think the element still missing is housing. I mean, you get a lot of hotels and office towers. I'm not aware of, I know there's some like condos there and a few things like that, but I'm not aware of a whole lot of housing in that area.
Well,
there?
We have, you'd be surprised, there's actually 5,000 people that either live within the district or plan to live within the district.
Huh.
One of our success stories we like to say is the former 20300 Civic Center, which is a 114,000 square foot office building, 4 stories high, built in the 1960s, was about 85% vacant.
Hmm.
We worked with the developer and the owner to convert it into loft apartments. 172 rooms were created. I know early on when Lawrence Tech was in need of residential housing, they leased 100 of those 172 new units.
We've still got 70 of them.
No kidding.
Mostly international students.
Right. Mm-hmm. The good news is as their need has decreased, the private market has filled those units. People want the accessibility. They like the walkability. They like a different style of living. And we see those young professionals or empty nesters being gateway into further housing in our community. Another similar type of higher end rental market was built at 12 in Southfield. They were sold out before they were even finished, and they have a waiting list.
Okay.
So there's been a need identified. We're starting to see more and more developers interested in building off-site student housing immediately adjacent to the campus.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some plans for mixed-use development right across the street from City Hall, which will include about 140 units of housing, some condo, but mostly market rate.
And these are people who work in Southfield?
Many people might not be aware that Southfield has a residential population of about 75,000, but we grow to 175,000 with their daytime population, and most of those are business-related. And we know of young professionals who live in Arbor Lofts and walk across the street and go to one of our big office towers, and we want to provide more housing options for people.
Yeah, there's a couple of lots that are there that are currently vacant on Evergreen, right? And those used to be office buildings, and they're just sort of land that's just sort of waiting there for the right proposal to come along, right?
That's correct. And if you haven't been along Evergreen since we did a number of our placemaking complete street projects, you've seen a lot of private market react and put in investment. We have mixed use, two-story retail and office buildings. We have another retail building that was opened up recently next to the Travelers Tower, and we're currently marketing this 9-acre vacant parcel at Civic Center in Evergreen that the city took a proactive approach, purchased it, and is now trying to get a positive development.
Just got to get Matt to leave Dearborn and move into Southfield now, right? Come on, Matt.
We've had a couple of people in my office that have moved to apartments in Southfield from other places.
There you go. You can walk to work.
Yeah,
you know,
bike to work when the weather's nice. Yeah. Heck yeah.
I got to tell you, one of the biggest compliments that I get is when somebody who either lived or worked in Southfield hasn't been there in a while,
mm-hmm.
drives up Evergreen Road and says, "I'm blown away by the type of placemaking, the art, the people that you guys transformed the 7-lane road with potholes and a lot of flooding into this beautiful corridor that's much more walkable. We have mid-block crossings and decorative crosswalks and bike racks. We've even installed our first 2 bike repair stations, and that just shows a need. We have a slow roll on Thursday. We have about 35-40 residents get together at the Southfield Library and go out for a slow row on their bikes. So it's a lot of positive signs, positive trends in Southfield.
So speaking of events, how about that for a segue?
That's a nice segue.
This very next week, we have something called Experience Evergreen. So why don't you tell us what's going on there?
Well, this is to tie into Lawrence Tech's convocation where the freshmen come back, and also is to promote businesses along Evergreen, although it's not specific to Evergreen. So far, Vibe, Fuddruckers, Hair Salon, Papa John's, Las Consuelas Mexican, Aurora's Deli.
Terrific restaurant, by the way.
Potbelly's, Uncle Joe's Chicken, Southfield Historical Society, Lawrence Tech, Zoop, Zagster, and City Center Dental, and Captain J's are all offering special promotional events for the week of August 21st to the 25th. There's door prizes.
Did you send me a press release on that there, Matthew?
I don't think I did.
Oh, you'll have do that. I'll get that before I jump on the bird tonight.
Okay.
So as I mentioned, there's an annual membership for the bikes for $25 a year, and each hour that you use it, it's free. Uh-huh. We're offering a $10 discount during this week. So if you sign up for the year membership, it's only $15. You use the bike 7 times, and the rest of the year it's paid for. Or you can still continue to use it at $2 an hour.
Well, gosh, every year when I get my bike, my mountain bike, retrofitted and cleaned up and oiled up, it costs me $120. So I should be renting it, right?
Yeah. And the nice thing about the service is the bikes, they do come with a little bell and a basket.
Ooh, perfect.
They got the fat tires. They are 5-speed. They're very comfortable. But the service and a program offers maintenance, insurance, and support should somebody need it. It's as easy as going on your phone and signing up through an app.
I've had the fortunate opportunity to be in a lot of big cities here in the last couple of years, and I see those rental bikes everywhere in those big cities. Very popular.
So our City Center District, to circle back, they sponsored a one-year trial period with us. And we hope to attract additional sponsors and hosts and be able to do it for a multi-year and expand our program. We already had one business sign up on their own for additional bikes, and I only see more success for the future.
All right. One of the more interesting bits of public art that you have sponsored as part of this program is something called Red Pole Park. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, just real briefly, because Southfield is a redevelopment-ready community, we are eligible through the Michigan Economic Development Corporation for crowdfunding platform. This is for placemaking, things that you wouldn't normally be able to do in your project. We just opened a new bike path, and we identified this Red Pole Park as abstract grove of trees. If you're thinking about walking through a grove of trees through the wood, these are telephone poles that are going to be painted bright red, 25 feet tall, along Northwestern Highway. You can walk through them, have a 3D experience, take a selfie, or they're going to be visible along Northwestern Highway as you drive.
It's like Marin County, right?
Yeah. So if we raise $50,000, we get a $50,000 match. And as of last August 4th, our last day, we raised $55,125. So we're eligible for the $50,000 match, and we'll have over $100,000 to help implement this by the spring of next year.
All right.
All right.
Only got a minute left.
Okay. So if people want more information about City Center, what's the website?
www.southfieldcitycenter.com.
And it's C-E-N-T-R-E.
That's correct.
Just so you know.
Yeah, we wanted to be very European.
Oh, I like it.
Well, it's neat to watch that area sort of transform. It has been for me the last year and a half working at Lawrence Tech, and we're currently working on our fourth residence hall at Lawrence Tech, and once we finish that thing, we're going to have 1,100 students living on campus. Okay. So that's a real critical mass of people.
And you've only got like, what, 3,000 or 4,000 total, right?
Right, yeah. So it's going to be the ongoing transformation is to make us a residential campus.
Now,
so,
is Lawrence Tech going to be on Michigan's schedule next year for football?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
University of Michigan Dearborn, if they were to add a team, that's the kind of school we're going to play.
I could say that it's been very positive with your sports programs and seeing the kids running through the street or using our facilities.
Well, we're also working on a 4,000 seat stadium right now, so stay tuned.
Okay, well, we're having fun, but unfortunately, this segment we're out of time.
All right. Thanks very much, Terry Crowe, Director of Planning for the City of Southfield. That's Southfield City Center, Centree,
Centree, European.
Yes, okay. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Mike Brennan.
And Matt Roush.
And
we're back.
Yeah, so on the Podcast Detroit Network, fun-filled Podcast Detroit Network. And speaking of fun, we have once again with us Tim Bruché.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Using the term loosely, yes, thank you.
Yes. No, I mean, we're going in a whole different direction here. All right, so she's the head of the Engage program.
I meant gentlemen.
Oh, okay, yes.
Jeez.
And she has with her Katie Bigelow, the founder of MetalOps, right?
Yes. Yeah, thank you for having me.
And you just recently got a really small contract with Tardec. No, I'm just kidding. 9.1 mil, that was a good one.
But in light of government contracts, that's not actually a very big one.
Hey, to me, I'd take a $9.1 million contract, huh?
And well, we're very pleased.
Yes. So, well, I'm going to turn this over to Timber here. So what is this all about?
What is this all about? So, gentlemen, thanks again for having us. Inform's Engage program, as you know, has been happening since 2012. We've put almost 90 women through our programming collectively, and these are brand new statistics. They've created 38 new companies in addition to the companies that have already been created. They have created 304 jobs.
Okay.
Been granted 35 patents and raised more than $41.3 million in follow-on funding and over $9 million now in government contracting. So it's been a really great program. We're very pleased with it. And Katie actually was part of the masterclass last year in Detroit, so she's had a very busy year. And Katie, I would just love to hear, where did the idea for your company come from? How did you get started?
Okay. My husband was an Army acquisitions officer. He was active duty Army, and he retired a few years ago. But he used to come home from work and tell me all the things that they were buying. And I was listening to all these stories and thinking, well, why aren't I selling that to them? And so as the years went by, I considered it and I studied it. Government contracting is a very complicated space for working. And so it took years of study. And so I decided to just take the plunge at one point, and it was a long, hard road. We bid many contracts and lost many times. And then back in 2015, we started winning. And we brought on some new customers that wanted us to win for them. And that's been a successful venture for us. And that's what we're doing is really creating a niche for what we can do. And, you know, I'm a 10-year Army vet. So our passion is warfighters. And so when we figured out that we could really do something for the soldiers, that's where we decided to make our goals and our objectives for. So the contract we won is for survivability. And what we're out there doing is trying to increase survivability for soldiers on the battlefield. So, you know, hopefully by our efforts and in the years and months to come, the soldiers are better equipped to come home at the end of the day is our goal.
Excellent. That's a great goal. What specifically was your background when you were in the military for those 10 years? What did you do?
I did two things. I started out as a linguist, and I did that for about 3 years. And then I guess I got bored, and I decided I would be a Black Hawk helicopter pilot.
That's not boring at all. Yes.
No, it was not boring. My niche was medical evacuation. And so I spent the last 7 years of my career flying Black Hawks and picking up patients. I spent 2 years in Iraq, so I spent 2 years picking up soldiers off the battlefield. And that was an honor and privilege. And then after 10 years, my life took a different direction. I had my first son, and I decided that I would stay home.
That's excellent. So you saw firsthand what the possibility of creating better equipment for better survivability for the soldiers would be?
Well, let me tell you, the first year we were there, I was there during the ground war in 2003 in Iraq, and we still had soft-sided Humvees. There was no armor hardly at all in them. What we were doing is finding fields of junk metal, steel, if we could find a steel plate somewhere, and then welding it to the side of these trucks. And since then, the Army has gone to great lengths to provide better equipment. But that better equipment still, you know, chassis are too heavy and the burdens is too much. And so we can do a lot better for our soldiers. And that's what we're trying to be a part of.
Absolutely. So when you came into the Engage Masterclass in 2016, what were your initial expectations or what were you hoping to get out of that program?
Oh, I didn't know what I was expecting. It was a room full of women entrepreneurs, which was very impressive after a while. The one thing I knew about being an entrepreneur is that there was a whole lot of things out there I didn't know. And so I was hoping to figure out where I needed to grow and to get some tools to do that. The class was great because our the person that was mentoring it, I guess, she really evaluated where we were all at with our businesses and helped us figure out how we can all move forward. And she helped me figure out what tools I needed and to see more clearly where I was at the time. In fact, I would love a master class too.
And we're talking about that. So definitely. Through the course of learning the contracting with the federal government, and what was that learning curve like for you? You said it's very difficult, took a long time. Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice for anyone else who maybe wants to get into government contracting or where to start?
Well, I can't say I'm an expert. I have one of the best business developers in the business, and he's the expert. So I rely very heavily on that. So if somebody wants to get in this space, one of the things they need to do is get out there. They need to join the different NDIA, WID is for women in defense, and some of these things, and they need to start asking all kinds of questions. And then they need to research everything. There's a wealth of information online. You could spend months and months just reading and reading and reading. And some of that is really important. But if at all you can do it, it's finding people to assist you. That's going to be the best way to move forward. A lot of people think they can do it on their own. And it's so complicated. It's not meant for the little guys. So if you can find somebody to assist you build a business in government contracting, that would be the best way to go.
So, Katie, if I could just jump in here, I'm just curious, what are you selling? What is the product?
Well, we do engineering services primarily, mm-hmm. And we do program management, and so we assist the ground survivability systems in procuring different composites or materials. We assist in testing those products, okay. But we're also selling optimization, design optimization, and lightweighting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you want to make vehicles that are lighter, faster, but also hold up better to
stronger
to fire. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
To blast.
Yeah,
right.
To blast. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. So, excuse me. How important do you think it is, your network?
Oh, a network, especially in our business in federal contracting, the network is everything. A wide network as far as a woman entrepreneur is nice because I need a lot of support. There's not a lot of women doing this, and so that it's really great to be able to have women to reach out to. But then on the federal contracting side, it's a whole nother system. And the way you win contracts, the best way is to develop relationships and prove one-on-one over the course of years that you can be trustworthy and that you can do good things with the government dollars when they give them to you. And that is the key to break into the markets is the relationships,
which is like any business, definitely. We've talked in the past, you and I, about the different aspects of networking within that industry versus just the general world. Cross-industry, cross-function. So do you think that the cross-industry, cross-function aspects of networking specifically with women entrepreneurs and supporting each other is different? Does it look different for a women entrepreneur?
Oh, absolutely. Women talk to each other differently, than men and women. And in the government space, it is primarily men. Mm-hmm. So it is definitely different. Our focus is different. We were going to talk about trucks when we're networking in the defense world, and we're going to talk about a lot of other different things that women talk about everything, right? And so it really helps to have both, and that's what I really try to pursue is the networking opportunities for both, for my business to grow and for me to grow as an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. 100%. So your Engage cohort was a very special cohort last year. Lots of different industries. Completely different industries. And what do you think really made that cohort so special? You all went in very different directions with very different companies.
We did. There were some amazing women in that group. They still are amazing. And they weren't just thinking about starting businesses. They were out there doing it. they've all grown as far as I, at least most of them have grown in significant ways. And I think that it was a group of women who were hard charging, and they reached out to resources when they could find them. And it wasn't a competitive environment. It was a let's see how we can all grow together environment. And I think that since our businesses were different, which was a very good thing, then we could kind of see holes and flaws in each other and help boost each other forward. I think that was a good opportunity, and it was good for me to see what other women can do.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree with that support. As we were talking about earlier, the Michigan STEM Partnership, so important for women like yourself and the other women who are in the STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and math, to really show the young women what they can do. Because did you have any idea you could be where you are today?
I actually grew up believing I could be anything I wanted. My parents gave me that gift. It never occurred to me I couldn't be something. And I think I had always said I wanted to be an aerospace engineer. And so my degree is in aeronautics, and I went and got myself an engineering firm. So I sort of made it happen.
That's great. What can you tell us about where you're going in the future with MetalOps? What are your next steps for? You've got the contract now, and then what are the next steps, and how would you like to grow?
Well, that contract isn't the end. That's just the beginning. We continue to bid on projects. We continue to reach out. Our next step is to add more to our engineering staff. We currently have two on staff, and we'd like to grow in that space. And our someday goal is to build something. I'm not sure what, but we'll see when we get there.
That's excellent.
Speaking of acquisitions, I had the opportunity to interview Army General Gus Perna last week when he was in town. So if we had talked earlier, I would be able to put in a good word for you get a much bigger contract, right?
Right. I'll take any kind of contract, though. We're out there to do a good job, to provide a good service. There's a lot of companies out there that don't provide good services, and so I'm really out there to do great, whether they want to give me a $25,000 contract or a $25 million contract.
I think the million would be a better one, though, right?
Well, we could do more with it.
Yeah, okay, good.
Do a lot more with it.
Yes.
So are you involving and engaging like material science folks or sponsoring research, or what kind of activities is the company doing to come up with this better shielding material?
Well, it depends. We're really partnering with the Ground Survivability System. So they've got different ideas about what materials they want to try. Mm-hmm. And so then we're in there helping them select materials and then optimize those materials. And like, for instance, this week we've got a deal with Michigan Tech. We're going to blow up some materials, see what happens.
Okay.
But hopefully not blow up Michigan Tech.
That
right?
Sounds like fun,
yeah,
actually.
So it sounds like a fun STEM job, doesn't it?
Right.
We have 1 minute, so we'll have to.
Okay, I have to ask you the Matt Rausch question, question I always ask.
Okay, go ahead.
Are you hiring right now, and if so, what skill sets are you looking for?
We will know if we are hiring within the next 10 days.
Okay, and what's the website people go to learn more about your company?
We are www.metalops.com, and it's metal, M-E-T-T-L-E, strength of courage and spirit, mm-hmm. That type of metal.
Nice pun.
I like it, yes.
Beyond metal, as it sounds
beyond
like the direction
metal,
you're going.
Yes, yeah. So, all right. Well,
we are actually taking applications for the next cohort of Engage Masterclass to start in November of this year.
Okay, and if they want to learn more, how do they do that?
Want to learn more about that? That's www.inforum, I-N-F-O-R-U-M, Michigan, spelled out. org.
Okay, Tim Berchet, who heads up Inforum's Engage program, and her guest, Katie Bigelow, founder of MetalOps. Thanks very much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M2 TechCast. Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast.
And we have the very patient John Gunnels?
Gunnels.
Okay. I always seem to do that, don't I? Yes, I know. Talking to the microphone, I'm getting gestures from Jessica. And they're the good gestures this time.
It helps to talk into the microphone.
Yes.
Now we're back.
Okay, yes. So he's the social media marketing guru, that's what Lisa said, at Airfoil Public Relations.
That's me. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, well, he's the last guest. He's been very patient sitting here, so we thank him for that. But you get a chance to get the feel for the show, what we do here. It's kind of different, you know? Fun, yeah?
It's very cool, yes. Yeah.
So I guess everybody wants to know this. What is really the best way to do social media marketing? I mean, I hear so many people tell me so many things. It's like diets, you know?
Yep.
One week you can't eat this, next week you can, and... So what really works in social – what have you guys found out? Because you have a lot of clients right at Airfoil. In fact, we should probably tell people, what is Airfoil? I know Lisa's listening, so go ahead. Take it away.
Sure. So Airfoil is a marketing communications firm that was founded in the dot-com era, and we survived the dot-com boom, and we're here – it's been about 17 years. We're actually located right down the street in Royal Oak, and we have offices in New York and also Silicon Valley. So we help support a number of clients – a lot of clients in the technology space, whether that's consumer tech, but also automotive technology. And, of course, there's other verticals we support, too, but technology is really our sweet spot.
eBay Motors, for instance.
Absolutely. We'll be seeing them at the Woodward Dream Cruise this weekend, so people in the area, they can stop by Westbourne Market and check out that booth.
Yeah, okay. So getting back to my original question, I mean, it seems to vary all the time, and I get – everybody gives me advice, and sometimes it's conflicting. But what do you guys do in social media marketing? What's really working well?
Well, I've been doing this for 10 years, and it's always changing.
Right.
So, you know, the beginning it was you could make a post, and everybody's going to see it, right? One post, and it's going to get all these likes and shares and comments. But now you have to pay for that. And so it's trying to, you know, evolve content so that your paid ads are getting more engagement, and your paid ads are getting seen by more people for a lot less money because, right, we want to maximize those ad dollars. But in terms of what's been happening, that's been working well. It's not a recent trend, maybe the last year or two. It's really been video and then live video. You can really see that a lot of these publishers are going to the live video model. Facebook's doubling down. They just announced the new product called Facebook Watch, where they're going to be trying to compete more with YouTube. They're really stealing a lot of market share from those folks. Mm. And then you can see, you know, Instagram's taking some of those ideas, stealing ideas from Snapchat, really with those live videos and time and Snapchat ads, and Instagram's adding ads and stories. And so all of these things are video focused. And so that's really where we're telling the, you know, the advertisers to be. With video now, it's a little less expensive than it used to be to create. Everyone's got great smartphones. You can get stabilizers to make sure your Facebook Live productions are much better. And so it's a great way to get more engagement.
Okay. And is that hold true? I mean, all your business clients, Snapchat, it's not something that I immediately think of, but then I'm not a millennial either. I mean, that's really different segment, though, different demographic for that, right, or not?
Absolutely. I mean, if you're you know, in the tech industry, Snapchat might not be the first place you're going to think to go. If you're a consumer tech brand, though, Snapchat is definitely something you should consider because your target market's around there. And you know, Instagram is very similar in that regard. But as you get to maybe a more formal technology business, as we talk about maybe some auto part manufacturers that are working in, you know, components for autonomous vehicles, they're not going to be on Snapchat right now. Maybe LinkedIn's the right place for them. So a lot of what we do is helping companies find out what the best place they should be communicating with their key targets and you know where the best opportunities are.
Well, let's say you're in the higher ed business.
Oh,
see, I've got to get some free consulting here. So,
okay, who might that be?
Where are the kids these days? Yeah. In other words,
yeah. Well, I mean, the kids are certainly on Snapchat, and there's a reason that marketers are flocking to that site. In fact, Snapchat is even marketing towards a very younger demographic. Disney, for instance, has been doing Snapchat filters because they've realized that parents are doing, you know, filters with their faces and fun things, and kids are in their laps, right? So it's kind of the first ads that these kids are going to be seeing, and it's for their favorite Disney characters. So, you know, but that younger millennial group, or even the generation that hasn't been named yet, that's a great place to be. You know,
it's a little
the
bit
generation
scary
with no name.
It's a little bit
like
scary
that.
Because there's Generation X, then there's the Millennials, which is Generation Y, and then this will be Generation Z.
Z.
Which is the end of the alphabet.
That's it. Then
that's a little scary.
Then it's like end of days after
yeah,
that, right?
Is I
that
guess what? Maybe or something.
Okay. Hey, I got a challenge for you.
Sure.
Actually, it's for a incoming advertiser that wants to reach out to middle and high school people in STEM. And what are these social media marketing vehicles would be the best way to do it?
I'd say try to catch their attention with some short video. I think it'd be easy for them to see a STEM message and might gloss over it. It's very technical, but if you can show the hands-on experiences and some of the things they might be able to participate in, maybe with a 30-second video or even a 10-second Snapchat content, that would be great. So you'd be looking at Facebook video, Facebook Live, Instagram, Snapchat, those kind of areas. I think that would be very helpful for that crowd. And then even other sites that they might be playing on that aren't necessarily social media focused. Think about what types of websites that high schoolers and middle schoolers might be on.
And that would be what? I don't know.
That's a good question. That's what we do. We look at some research and we try to find what the best sites would be for those markets. Offhand, not being a middle schooler anymore, I'm not really sure.
Well, you look young enough. You might be.
Well, thank you. But yeah, it's always great to do research and find out, where these folks are playing and find out how to reach them.
Yeah, well, actually, LTU, that's one of our new sponsors coming on in September.
Yes, indeed.
And his boss has mandated that we target these kids so they'll attend LTU, right? And it's like that's not typically our audience. It's more of an older business audience. So that's why I'm going, how do we do this?
Well, another interesting route.
Have the occasional indie band on, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. So, okay.
All right.
Well, you try maybe to appeal to their parents, too, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's
sure.
Really what it is.
I mean, there's an awful lot of advertising for colleges that is not directed at the high school students by any means. So,
do you want your kids to make big bucks? Come to LTU.
We'll work
on a campaign like that, right? Okay.
The vast majority of our students are employed. Yes, this is a good thing.
Yeah, so. They'd probably get their degree, walk right into a job or something, right?
Yeah, something close to that. The question I wanted to ask you is the most recent quarter, Twitter had zero net new users. What's the deal with Twitter? What's happening with them?
Twitter is very interesting. From my perspective, it's a great site to learn about breaking news or, live sports. I'm a huge football fan, so it's a great site for me to be on, but that doesn't necessarily translate to profit for shareholders, right? I think one of the issues that Twitter's having is they don't have a lot of space for ads. If you look on Facebook, they are keeping people on site. That's why they're rolling out Facebook Watch. That's why they have live video, so there's more ways they can advertise to you. The more times that you're on the site, the more opportunities they have to target you. Twitter doesn't have that. People aren't spending that much time on site. So, they're unable to capture this lion's share of advertising dollars. And to be honest, other platforms like Facebook and Google have much better ways for marketers to target. So if you're making an advertiser's job easier, they're definitely going to go to your site. And at the end of the day, Twitter is not making it easier on advertisers. That hurts them profitability. And then in terms of users, there's a lot of competition out there, right? So, you have to evolve, which I think a lot of platforms have done. So we'll have to see, what they do in the next year or so to try to remain competitive.
What do you see as the next big social media trend on the horizon? What's coming that, maybe is not well defined yet, or it's really going to focus on video, though, right? Video is where it's at.
Yeah, I certainly think video is going to continue in image-based advertising. I mean, Instagram's been growing for many, many years, and so it's really that visual aspect that's been at the top end of social recently. I think short messages are also going to continue to be at the top. If we think about where social media came from, really the first mainstream social media was blogging. Right. And those are very long form. And then we got to Facebook and that was pretty long form. And even that's getting shorter and shorter. And we got to Twitter. Right. But really, Twitter and Facebook and those types of sites have kind of set the stage for, short social media posts. And we see with brand pages, those are the things that work the best. Just a little bit of copy. And so I think that's really where the trend is going to stay for a little bit.
Interesting.
So tell me a little bit about Airfoil's practice in social media.
Sure. So we help clients with a variety of social and digital media programs, whether it's actually managing a social media channel like a Facebook page and providing customer service for people or brands that might need to scale. We do a lot in the content development area, so writing content, creating video, for a variety of platforms, right? You know, driving people to web pages to download, let's say, you know, e-guides and things like that. So we also get into the paid amplification of that. So, you know, paid campaigns, lead generation campaigns, we'll do Google AdWords campaigns, anything that we can amplify those messages. As I mentioned earlier, it's not enough to just, you know, create content or post organically. You really have to put paid dollars behind it to see some success. Mm-hmm. And then we also get into some other tactics such as influencer marketing, which is really a big and interesting space right now. We see a lot of new influencers popping up, especially in the consumer space. So it's very, very interesting to see that these normal people turning into almost like celebrity endorsers themselves and creating a career out of hawking products and creating their own brand online. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I should also mention as a disclaimer that Airfoil is coming on board as a sponsor, actually has come on board, but since I'm departing, we're officially kicking off in September. And so we'll be doing a coordinated marketing campaign. I got a brief, I have a session over there. I got to brief everybody the week that I get back from overseas, and we'll tell everybody what we're doing, but it'll focus on the customer each month with video, audio, guest columns, ads, the whole thing.
So, we're very excited about that, very excited.
So we'll see how that all works out. But I'm going to really pick your brains here because there's probably a better way to do video. I mean, we're starting to get into video, but I'm just an old—
You've been doing web video for like 15 years now.
Yeah, I know, but I'm an old newspaper guy. So there's a whole lot of new tricks I need to learn, and more importantly, I need to figure out the best way to do it so that I reach the maximum audience, right?
Right. And actually, maybe I'm not the right person to ask because I'm an old newspaper guy, too. That's where I got to start. But, you know, the writing translates into social media, and it's, you know, I'd say for you, for video, it's, you know, what does it mean to the reader, or in this case, what does it mean to your target audience?
Yeah.
So, and when we notice more and more it's short video, it's catching graphics, it's... you know, one thing is subtitles. We've seen research that most people that are watching Facebook video are doing it at school or at work, and they can't have the sound on.
Computer's
or the doctor's
muted,
office.
Right, yeah. Yep.
Got to put subtitles in any of those videos. So.
Yeah, we do that. I, you know, amplify up to, on my YouTube page, amplify what's being said with the points that are being made. I had to bang out one real fast with the general today because I was leaving, and then TACOM was going, where's the video? So I didn't get a chance to drop in all those subtitles, but that's what we do too. But mine tend to be a little longish, 2 to 3 minutes, and I know that you just said short is better. So what I'm really thinking about be fun to play with is, as I keep bashing Jessica here, is like you click on an ad and it spools up, say, a 10 or 15-second video rather than going to a landing page. Do you think something like that might work?
Sure. You know, you have to capture their attention somehow. So and also A-B testing. So you could test, and there might be certain verticals or certain types of content that work better to be longer. So you could test a 30-second video and then an extended cut and see which one works better. Mm-hmm. And then there's also opportunities within that Facebook page to have a featured Facebook video, much like YouTube's had for many years. And even now they're doing Facebook cover photos.
We just went to a cover video for the Lawrence Tech Facebook page. It's really interesting.
The interesting thing there too is, you know, you got to think about consumer behavior. People aren't really consuming the feed from the news page itself, so they might not necessarily be going to Lawrence Tech, but they're going to see Lawrence Tech in their feed. So it's a cool feature. Is it going to move the needle? It might, but I think at the end of the day, it's all about getting people to see stuff in that feed.
Well, one of the things I've noticed for sure is that the video editing tools are so much better now and so much easier to use. I mean, you know.
Well, on this, I shoot. I have a really expensive camera, but I can shoot almost the same quality video with this and my iPod.
He is holding up his phone. He is holding up his phone right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I'm holding up my phone. That's
visual aids on the radio, Mike. Real good.
Okay.
So we would say a best practice, if you're ever going to do a Facebook Live or a video, buy a stabilizer. You can buy them for maybe a couple $100, but you can also rent them. There's many companies that rent them for maybe $40 or $50 a week. It's a great thing to do.
Yeah, I bought one. It's just getting it set up is tricky.
It can be.
It's the perfect balance. You know, it's like, you know, so.
Okay, John Gunnels, thanks very much from Airfoil Public Relations. If people would like to reach you, how do they do that?
We are located at the airfoilgroup.com, and you can also see us always tweeting online at Airfoil Group.
Okay, want to thank all of our guests today on another good show. John Gunnels, social media marketing guy at Airfoil Public Relations.
The guru.
Tim Burchet heads up Inform's Engage program for women entrepreneurs, and one of her recent clients, Katie Bigelow, founder of MetalOps. May you grow and prosper. You're doing great stuff. Linda Deschent, CEO of the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan, and Terry Crode, city planner for the city of Southfield, talking about Southfield City Center.
Wow. And that one blew me away.
Yep.
When I think of Southfield, I think of a financial center. I don't think of residents.
Yeah, a downtown. Right. Yeah. Well, you should see. I'm telling you, people should go to Southfield City Center, Century.com,
yes.
and see the concept plans that are there. It's a phenomenal. It's really a beautiful thing. If it actually happens, it's going to be great.
Okay. Speaking of great, I'm going on vacation. Matt's going to have the show by himself next week, and then the following two Mondays, we're off.
Yep. We will be back next week on August 21st, and then back again the week after Labor Day.
September 11th, I think it is.
Yep. I think you're right.
Yeah.
All right. So for right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been listening to the M-Squared TechCast. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to M-Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.